This is Company Cars, the podcast that tries to make sense of the car business. All right, so today we have Quinn Osha on the show, and he's here to tell us a little bit about Topmark and what he's up to in the car business. And this is a follow-up episode to our last one about how to navigate the current car buying landscape. So Quinn, welcome to the show. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about Topmark and yourself and what you're up to?
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. So I'm basically I run Topmark. It's an online platform for selling your used vehicle. It's basically an offer comparison platform. And you can liken it to kind of the Kayak of selling your used vehicle, right? Like, you know, on Kayak, you can go on and get a bunch of different prices for a flight to San Francisco, say. And in the same way, you can use Topmark to go and get a bunch of different offers for your used vehicle. And so we've sort of been focused on really nailing down the selling experience. I personally kind of have somewhat recently come out of the corporate world. And so, you know, I'm a relative newbie in the entrepreneur space. I've been doing it for about 18 months. But really excited about it, really excited about the product and, you know, just sort of love talking cars. So I appreciate you bringing me on.
Oh yeah. Great. Of course. So I know you launched Topmark kind of amidst the global pandemic and its upheaval of the car market. So things kind of went south for a while and then things came back in full force in the car business. And so why did you decide to open Topmark when you did?
Yeah, I think it's been just, like you said, a kind of crazy whirlwind of a space. I've always been into cars, like from a young age. I worked on them with my family. We went to car shows, auctions, stuff like that. So I think the industry was kind of in my blood. And then in terms of like entrepreneurship, you know, that was also kind of in my blood growing up. So I always was like looking for places to be in this space. And in the pandemic just kind of really lit things on fire. And so I think there was a lot of opportunity and just watching what was happening with like the sort of digitalization of the entire industry, watching people move online after years and years of, you know, fighting back and not going online, even though everything else was, we just sort of saw this sort of perfect opportunity to take advantage of that and really improve the experience from a seller's perspective.
Great. And so based on what you see from all the data that I'm sure you're probably looking at, what are your thoughts on where the used car market is probably going over the next 6 months or 12 months or year or two? It's been kind of a whirlwind. So curious to hear your thoughts on where it's going.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's anybody's guess. But so I sort of came from a tech company where we built hardware products. And, you know, anybody that's been in hardware understands that ICs, chips, you know, integrated circuits, whatever you want to call them, you know, sourcing those has always been a problem. And it's been kind of interesting watching that hit the automotive market. And so my experience from that shows that it's probably going to take, you know, 18 to 24 months for the chip stuff to sort itself out. Just because that's how long it takes to manufacture these things. So on the supply side, I think it's going to be that long before we start seeing new cars, you know, being built in volumes that can support the demand, which means that, you know, prices are going to stay high, right? Because there's just not enough cars to support the demand. And then, you know, in terms of the trends of like moving online, that's probably been one of the cooler things to watch because like I mentioned, like, you know, the automotive industry has been around for 100 years and, you know, even though everything from books to, you know, trees have gone to online sales until the pandemic, you know, still only like 5% of the 40 million vehicles sold in the United States each year were like fully online. You know, that's a tiny percentage. And then the pandemic just, you know, like I said, lit a fire under that. And suddenly you're at like 20, 25% or something. So I think that transition will stay. I think the fact that the people are now kind of used to buying cars online and they kind of like it and it's nice and it's easy and it's comfortable. So I think that transition is going to stay, but the prices will mellow out.
Okay. Yeah. That takes us right perfectly into our next set of questions. And so I guess the next question for you here is, what are the biggest issues that you see from people selling their cars online? So you can buy a car online, and I think a lot of the online car sales platforms will try to mitigate it through having refund policies and whatnot. But from your perspective, what are the biggest issues people face when selling their car online?
So specifically in selling, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're selling, what most people care about is price, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because with buying, like you mentioned, there's, you know, you have something you have to either like or dislike afterwards. It's a product, but, you know, selling, the only residual is the cash in your pocket. And so that's kind of like people's number one focus. And that's kind of where, you know, our whole business model came from, is like, you know, people, that's what people care about. They don't necessarily care if they sell to, you know, the local Ford dealership. They don't care if they sell to Carvana online, as long as whoever it is going to pay them the most money. And so the easiest way to do that, in our experience, and I think like most people kind of understand the concept, is, you know, to go to one website and see all your options and then pick the best one. And so that's kind of, you know, what we've been focused on. I think, you know, other things in terms of, like, some dealerships will come and pick up your car. Some will offer like Ubers back from their dealer. So there are some like minutiae in terms of like the convenience factor. But at the end of the day, I think most people, like, if you give them $1,000 extra to go drop their car off at a dealer in their area, they're probably going to do that.
Yeah. So for the acquiring dealer, so I guess the person that's buying the car from the people selling your car, have you heard any kind of major issues that are consistent across the Carvanas and dealerships of the world buying cars online for the first time?
Yeah. So, okay. So in terms of, from that respect, there are a few issues, and that's just like your ability to grade a vehicle's quality remotely. Right. And I think if you spend any time online, you know, there's pretty generic forms. Like, we have one, it's very similar to what most people in the industry use. And it sort of asks, you know, how many accidents have you been in? Are there scratches, dents, you know, condition report, stains, stuff like that. And so I think the key there, and one thing we're really focused on, is completely and most accurately identifying the car that people are selling through the online form portal. And that's something, so that way, like, the price that they can generate is an accurate one. And there aren't these kind of, oh, you know, you lied to us, we got to change this and stuff like that. So that's kind of looking forward, one of the things that we're focused on, like, how can we build an app or create kind of like a widget that will, you know, take pictures, analyze stuff like that, to kind of automatically and effectively value your car, remotely.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think I put my own car through the website, and I think what I noticed is, kind of, as cars get older, they become much more unpredictable, right, in terms of their condition. And so you see kind of this gradient of, this increase in variance between the offers that show up as you put in kind of older and older cars. And so on that note, what are the most in-demand used cars that you've seen on your platform? And yeah, I guess what are the most popular things changing hands?
Sure. So just, I want to touch on what you said there, because that's actually a really interesting point in this industry, is the online quote generators are really good at kind of like last 5 years and within 75,000 miles, but as you, and sort of under a certain price limit, as soon as you expand outside of that kind of sphere, it becomes very difficult. And a lot of those algorithms stop working as well. So you either get no offer or low offers. And so another thing that we're focused on is bringing in dealers who either want the old cars or want the high-end cars, so that we can fill in those kind of spots. Going back to your actual question, sorry about that, but, you know, I find it interesting. So I thought people might, but, the market is crazy across the board. Trucks are especially in demand, because those are the ones that got hit pretty heavily by the chip shortage. So, you know, there's stories, of Ford having, you know, whole parking lots full of trucks that are totally complete except for one chip. So, you know, you can imagine they're not building enough new cars, so the used cars go up. One specific instance we had is on a Toyota, Land Cruiser. Sorry about that. Yeah, a 2021 Land Cruiser that had been driven for 5,000 miles. So this was a used Land Cruiser, and one of our dealers offered $17,000 over original MSRP. So that's over new.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, right?
It's a hot market all around for everything, but especially for trucks, it sounds like.
Yeah, and SUVs. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. And so back to your point, I also find it very interesting, your point about trying to think about what technological innovations we can get to reduce the variance in the price spread of some of these older cars or these less liquid markets out there. And so I guess, what kind of technologies have you explored? I know you've said that you've explored bringing in certain dealers who are interested in those products, but what sources of data are you most interested in about kind of these harder to value cars, whether that's due to age, mileage, or just low liquidity, low transaction market cars?
Yeah. So I actually don't think that we'll ever get rid of the variance between car prices, because that's just like dealers specialize in the same way, you know, other industries specialize. Like you've got a group of, you know, potentially like Ford truck dealers or, you know, Chevy's dealers. And then you've got kind of buy here, pay here dealers who tend to do kind of the older, higher mileage cars, but they can pay more for those because that's like their bread and butter. They're going to sell those and then put like financing on them. So it's a natural phenomenon that certain dealers will pay more for certain cars and others won't. The thing that we see with like the higher end, the reason these online quote generators like don't work is because that's not the bread and butter of the online dealers. And so what we're really doing is trying to empower the kind of the low end and the high end dealers who may be smaller, but don't have this kind of like high end technology to create these automotive quote generators, and give them a way to sort of have an online presence as well. So that if you have a expensive car and you're trying to sell it, you know, and don't want to go to every high end dealer in your area, then you can just go on our site and get offers from local dealers as well.
Great. Yeah. And so just thinking about the business and what you've built with Topmark so far, what are your thoughts on where you want to take the business in terms of growing it over the next few years? I know we've talked about various things to make the process smoother and to improve the quality of the pricing, but kind of more generally, what's your broader vision for the business?
Yeah, I think, first and foremost, it's just like make selling a car just such a smooth experience for the end users. It's really not a complicated thing. And like you said, there's just one piece. It's like you just need to get money at the end. It's not like I need this financing or I need these features. It's like I have this thing and I want money for it. So the transaction should be simple, and I want to make sure that that is. Beyond that, I think like most people don't know the sort of back end of the auto industry, but there's about 13 million cars every year that get shuttled through this like wholesale auction process from dealer to dealer. And, you know, your mention of technology, like that's essentially what we're trying to do. It's like, we're trying to apply our technology to connect the end dealer who wants to resell your car with you. And we're using technology basically to do that by just kind of making the industry more transparent and creating kind of an open marketplace. So that you don't sell to one dealer, they sell to or go through auction and sell to another one, right? So,
great. So I guess now some fun questions. We're both car guys here. I think that we have a lot of car people in the audience. And so, is there a particular car that you've owned that's been very special to you, and why? Like, kind of, what's the story behind it?
Yeah, I mean, so all my cars have been special, I would say. I think, I mean, my first car was a 2006 Mazda 3 hatchback, and I loved it. It was bright red. I was 16 and, you know, childish. So I just loved like modding it out and doing random things. It was way too loud. It shouldn't have been that loud for a Mazda 3. It was like 180 horsepower, but, it kind of really sparked my interest in just like having my own cars and in modifying them on my own. So.
Cool. Yeah. And so what's a car that you have always wanted to own, but haven't had a chance to own yet?
Ooh. I'm a big Aston fan. I love Aston Martins. I think if I ever had if I had the money, like right now, it may not be the car I get, cause they're kind of like subdued, but certainly as I, you know, get a little older, maybe, and more mature, you know, I think it's just such a classy car, you know, the staple James Bond thing. It's just, right. It looks good.
Great. And as we're coming kind of to the end of the interview, what advice do you have for somebody trying to change cars right now? So trying to sell their old car and trying to buy a new car, maybe in this current climate.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I'd say is if you're trying to buy a new car right now, I wouldn't, unless you need to, yeah. Specifically new cars. I think if you absolutely like need a car right now, I would go and look at used car prices on like very specific models, like, you know, Mazda 3s, you can still get relatively cheaply, you know, a few Toyota Camrys. Like, I would definitely price compare different models and then try to do something later. Cause buying a new car right now, it's just tough. They're just so expensive. So generally I'd say wait. In terms of selling, I think this is by far the best time in history to be, you know, selling a car. It's a seller's market for sure. And so even if you don't use Topmark, I mean, I think you should, but even if you don't, I would definitely suggest you shop it around, you know, go ask a few people what they'll pay for it. And I bet you'll be surprised with what they offer you.
And so thank you, Quinn, for sharing your thoughts with us today on the show. And we'd love to have you back sometime in the future and just to check in on you and see how things are doing. And now it's time for a short break. We'll hear from our sponsors and we'll share some information about how to submit a listener question. The Company Cars Podcast is sponsored by Rejected Conjectures Incorporated, a division of Integrated Derivatives. If you have a question that you want answered on the show, write us an email at companycarspodcast@gmail.com. And so now we turn our attention to the latest things happening in the automotive business this week. So a couple big pieces of news. So the first is that Ford and GM both announced that they are getting into the chip making business. So they each announced partnerships with chip manufacturers to try and integrate the supply chain a little bit, which is very interesting because automakers have traditionally largely been assemblers in the sense that they purchase all these different parts from suppliers and then put them all together in a car. So think of automakers historically as being more like a PC maker where they buy seats from company A and chips from company B and steering systems from company C and then put it all together. But it looks like with the chip shortage, it has shown the automakers that there's some risk to this strategy when they can't get some of the components they need. So we saw some evidence that automakers are trying to vertically integrate and bring some of the chip work in-house. In addition, it's also Los Angeles Auto Show Press Week. And before the pandemic, auto shows were a fantastic opportunity for automakers to launch new products and get them in front of the media and have all these splashy press releases and parties to try and wine and dine the media to cover their products. And so the pandemic kind of took that away and we had more virtual unveilings. And this year was the first year where we have started to come back to an in-person auto show in Los Angeles. And so the big highlights this year were it's largely electric. So we saw Subaru release more details about its electric vehicle, the Solterra, which it developed in conjunction with Toyota. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing more details about the Solterra because it fits in very nicely with what a lot of Subaru customers are looking for in terms of aesthetic and in terms of being a little more environmentally responsible with regards to greenhouse gas emissions. We also saw the announcement of Motor Trend Car of the Year, which is a really coveted award. And so usually around this time in the car business, things get pretty busy as the motoring press starts to put together its kind of annual awards and its annual lists of top 40 industry executives, top 10 new products for the year, top 10 cars for the year, etc. And so the big news this year is Motor Trend's 2022 Car of the Year is the Lucid Air. And so this is a large luxury electric sedan. And What's interesting about the Lucid Air is that the CEO of Lucid was previously the chief engineer for the Tesla Model S. And so he brought a lot of his knowledge from working on the original Model S with him to develop the Lucid Air. So I'm excited to see deliveries of the Lucid Air start to happen. The car appears basically ready to go and is starting to ship. So it'll be really interesting to see this car get in front of owners and what owners think of the car. The other thing of note at the Los Angeles Auto Show this year is I think this might be the first American auto show where the majority of new product unveilings were electric. So based on my notes, there were only three gasoline car introductions at the auto show this year, and those were the Acura Integra, the Mazda CX-50, and a special edition of the Porsche Cayman GT4. So that's really interesting because the Acura Integra is kind of a tip of the hat from Honda to enthusiasts who maybe recall the 1990s Acura Integra very fondly. So it's based on the new Civic, and it reverts back to the formula of the 1990s where Acura went and took a Honda Civic and put a tuxedo on it and added some performance bits and called it a day. And so that's a car I'm very much looking forward to seeing, but it's also very striking to see that the vast majority of everybody's attention is on electric cars. And it's very clear that the future is electric and the era of the internal combustion engine car may not be here for that much longer. The Mazda CX-50 is very interesting because Mazda is trying to move up market, and the CX-50 is a more squared off, off-road focused version of the Mazda CX-5 and also move to the new Mazda 3 platform. So the Mazda CX-50 is expected to be somewhat more premium than the current Mazda CX-5. And so we will see how Mazda does with this more adventure focused vehicle. Right now, Mazda appears to want to keep the old CX-5 and the new CX-50 on sale at the same time, which is going to be a little bit confusing when you go into a dealer showroom because they'll have two SUVs in kind of the same price point and size category on the market. And the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 RS, it's just another Porsche special edition. I'm sure it'll appeal to the Porsche collectors and enthusiasts, but I sometimes lose track of all the different special editions that Porsche puts out there. But yeah, in the end, it's just very interesting that almost all the attention was focused on electric cars this year, which is pretty exciting. And so that's going to do it on this episode of the podcast. I hope you really enjoyed listening to our conversation with Quinn and hearing about what he's doing at Topmark and his thoughts on the car business going forward. And I look forward to hearing you on the next episode.